I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Get deep. deeper into God. I wanna love the Lord even more, deeper into my awesome God.
Father, we thank you for the blessing of being in church and the opportunity to share the word of God. I pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Today, I want to continue sharing with you from the book, The Determinants, and the message is on wisdom. We've been talking about wisdom. I think we started last week and we're continuing today. Okay. But today I want to go to chapter 9 and talk about how to improve your wisdom, right? And James chapter 1 and verse 5. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Okay, James chapter 1 and verse 5. This is, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, okay, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Hallelujah. Now, I believe you all remember that we've been reading the foundation scripture, which is Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. That verse says that I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. So we've been studying generally the normal determinants of outcomes in people's lives, right? And these are the determinants: speed, strength, wisdom, understanding, and skill. These are the things that determine normally the differences between people and how well people do, okay? That is until they are neutralized by time and chance. Their effect is disabled by those two elements if those elements come your way, right? So until those elements come your way, these five things hold the keys to how well you do, and it will help you if you paid attention to them and developed those things, right? So we've talked about two. I think we're talking about the third one, which is wisdom. And today we're discussing how to improve your wisdom, The verse we just read is telling us that wisdom can be acquired. And I think that is good news. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. God gives to all men liberally. Liberally means he gives it generously. God is very open with wisdom. And anybody who asks God for wisdom will receive wisdom from God. And it says, he upbraideth not, right? The word upbraid means to find fault with or reproach severely, right? To find fault with or reproach severely. And the Bible says that God is not going to go shouting at you. When you make your mistakes and you come to God and say, Lord, I need wisdom to know what to do, God is not going to say to you, you are now coming for wisdom. You are now coming for wisdom. Now you've seen something, you learn some sense. You get it? That's what we humans do, you know. Sometimes wives do that a lot to their husbands. They scold them for not consulting them first.
You are preaching.
They treat them like a little boy.
Oh, my God.
Yes. You see, but that's not a good thing to do. Amen. Mm. Can I have an amen, please? It's too early in the game to...
Amen.
You started preaching and you're already tuning out of me. Okay. So I'm saying that the Bible says God will give you wisdom without reproaching you or rebuking you. You know, God will give you wisdom generously, liberally. It's not a problem at all. God is not in any kind of short supply of wisdom. He's rather surprised that we don't come to him that often for wisdom, considering how much of it we need and how important it is to have wisdom, okay? And so he says, God will give to everyone. It shall be given him. It shall be given him. It shall be given him. So why don't we ask God for wisdom? I think we should be asking God for wisdom every day.
Yeah.
The one thing God says, it shall be given him. You know, some of the things we ask God for, there's no such verse that says it shall be given him. Do you see? But this one, he says, wisdom. Ask God. God will give you wisdom. Do you understand? And it's great news. It means that the wisdom level you are operating right now, you know, is not the only level you can have. It means your wisdom can improve. It means your wisdom can improve. And when your wisdom improves, your life improves. That's the reality. When your wisdom improves, your life improves. The problem with wisdom is that it betrays you when it's not there. You know, it's not something you can hide. You can't pretend to be wise. Wisdom hangs a label, you know, or a gauge around your neck as you walk around and displays to everybody how much of it you have. You get it? And it shouts in everything about you, how you walk, how you dress, how you talk. Wisdom is displaying itself in all those things all the time. Do you get it? So for something that can so easily embarrass us without notice, then why don't we just keep going to God for more? Do you see? So that we can improve our wisdom all the time. It's very important. We can ask God for wisdom, and God will give it to us. God is actually impressed with people who ask for wisdom, as we see in the case of Solomon, right? The Bible says that Solomon, when he became king, he went to the Lord, or the Lord appeared to him, you see? And God asked him to ask for anything that he would want. This is in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, God asked Solomon ask what you will. Just ask what you would like, you know. Let me read from verse 3. It says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar." Right? Verse 5. "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" Verse 6. "And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne." You know, even Solomon recognized that it was great kindness that God was doing to his father by making him who he had become. You see, so he said, "As it is this day," in verse 7, "And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." Verse 8, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." Verse 9, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And verse 10 says, "And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing," you know. "And God said to him, 'Because thou hast asked this thing, and has not asked for thyself long life, neither asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days." 15 says, "And Solomon awoke." Wow, that is sad. That, and he says, he awoke and behold, it was a dream. You know, and he came to, so, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast unto all his servants, right? So we can see how God was pleased. God was so impressed with Solomon's prayer. He was so impressed that a young man like Solomon, you know, even the things God suggests in verse 11 shows what God was expecting Solomon to ask for when he showed up and started praying. And he probably got that from knowing and answering people's prayers for some time. He knew what young people who have power, what they usually ask for. You see? And so God said, "Because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for thyself neither has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words." You see, God is probably used to young people asking for the life of their enemies. You see, and so God was expecting Solomon to start with an enemy list. you know. But God is showing us what prayer is superior to prayers against your enemies. Because in any war, the one with the higher wisdom is the one who wins. So God is impressed that Solomon is able to see through the fact that instead of praying that your enemies should die, that your enemies should be defeated, rather skip the enemies and come and ask me to increase your wisdom. Because when you start operating superior wisdom, it naturally drowns your enemies. And an enemy is anything that is contending with you for your advancement, for your progress, for your survival, for your existence. That's an enemy. You get it? When you're sick, that's an enemy. When you're broke, that's an enemy. When you're experiencing strife, that's an enemy. When there's strife at home, that's an enemy. You see, and we are constantly asking God for the life of these enemies, but never asking God for wisdom. True or false?
It's true, Apostle.
We are always praying for these enemies and praying against these enemies and praying all the time that these enemies will be defeated. Lord, the enemy of poverty. Lord, the enemy of sickness. Lord, the enemy of my marriage. Lord, the enemy of loneliness. Lord, the enemy. Lord, the enemy. Lord, the enemy. And God said, well, that is cool. When Solomon came, God just said, let's start enemy list. Let's just start. I know what you must have on your list. Let's just start. Which of the enemies do you want to deal with first? And to his surprise, Solomon didn't come with an enemy list. Solomon just came and said, Lord, all I want is wisdom, 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 wisdom. I need an understanding heart. That's what I need from you. Yes. I need these things. I don't want to deal with any of these other things. You just give me wisdom. Upgrade my thinking. And I know that if you give me wisdom, wisdom will take care of the rest. And the Bible says that when he finished his prayer, what he said pleased the Lord. Verse 10, the speech pleased the Lord. May God be pleased with your speech. Yes. May God be pleased with the things you pray about. He said, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. So God said unto him, because you've asked for that and have not asked for these other things, he said, behold, verse 12, I have done according to thy words. I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. I've given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Then he said, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. So we must all learn to pray the prayer that brings the other things. Do you see? Instead of praying for riches and honor, he said, you have rather prayed a prayer for wisdom that will now ensure that you have riches and honor. Do you get it? Because in the book of Proverbs, you find with the Lord wisdom introducing itself, and wisdom says, length of days is in my right hand and riches is in my left hand. I come with them. If you embrace me, you embrace me. These things just come along with me. You don't have to pray for this. It comes with it. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Like buying a pair of shoes that require laces. You don't have to buy the lace. Do you see? You don't have to buy the lace. It comes with the shoe. You buy the shoe, you get the lace. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
God is showing us what you can pray for, you know, what you can pray for, which will bring the rest. What you can pray for, which will bring the rest. It's like bowling, you know. You need to know how to target the ball to hit the one that hits all the rest. And this is where we are. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the key. Wisdom is the thing to go after. Your wisdom. Improve your wisdom. You will improve your life.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Can I have an amen? Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So then, how do we go about improving our wisdom? How can we grow our wisdom? How can we improve our wisdom? What are the practical steps? What is the process by which God grows our wisdom? Number one, you know, the steps to knowledge. And by the way, knowledge and wisdom are related. You know, when wisdom is in storage, it is called knowledge, right? When it is dispensed, it is now wisdom. So your wisdom is how you apply your knowledge. Do you get it? So you find that when you have knowledge, you tend to exercise wisdom because your wisdom is the application of the knowledge. When you start to dispense your knowledge, you are now walking in wisdom. So how do we increase our wisdom? We must necessarily be increasing our knowledge. The knowledge is the bank. That's the storage. And then as that increases, our wisdom or capacity to apply it will also multiply with it. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Right. So how amen. Develop into a man of knowledge and wisdom? How to develop into a man of knowledge and wisdom. And number one is noticing, recognizing things is the first step to gaining knowledge. Okay. Noticing and recognizing things is the first step to gaining knowledge. People who lack wisdom do not notice things. Right. So noticing things is your first step if you're going to walk in wisdom. Okay. Now look at this verse in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. Okay. It says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, right? Unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea, right? It says, what you see, write in a book, right? Now, God wants us to be people who notice things, people who notice things. Oh, and by the way, I need you to observe also here how that God gave a revelation to a man of God. That's the apostle who's writing the book of Revelation, right? God gave him a revelation and God told him to write it in a book. God directed him, what you see, write in a book. That means if you miss that man's book, you have missed the revelation. You see, yeah, this is another reason why we must read books, because God gives revelation and insights to people and God directs them to write it in a book. Do you see? Write it in a book. I know you probably receive it if the man of God preached it, but God didn't tell him to preach it. God said he should write it. And so he wrote it. And the message was for the seven churches. Write it and send it to the seven churches. So what the churches are going to get is the man of God and his book. That's what they are going to get. And a rejection of those books is a rejection of the revelation that God gave. And that's how you will miss that revelation. So it's important, okay, for us to read the books of the men of God that God gives to us. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
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 Okay, I'm continuing. So it's important for us to notice things and to recognize things. And noticing things and recognizing things calls for curiosity and interest in the things that are happening around us, right? Now, it says here, monkeys lack the ability to point out things to their children. The inability to notice things, to point out things, to acknowledge things, to reward great achievements is a sign of mental deficiency. Nations that do not reward successful people, but rather punish them, reveal a deep-seated deficiency. Something is wrong. Do you get it? Something is wrong. Even in your life as an individual, if you're one of those who tends to always see something negative about positive things people are doing, you know, you are actually revealing a deficiency. Do you get it? And I like the example of monkeys because that's one of the big things that separates monkeys from humans. You get it? If you watch all the animals, you will observe that monkeys probably are the ones who closest to humans in terms of, you know, things we have in common, their behaviors and so on. But one of the things monkeys cannot do, which humans do always, is to be able to point things out or to recognize something and to know, you know, what to do with or about it. You know, now I was saying that I was watching, it was a video that popped up after flow prayer the other night. And then I was sat through to watch the video. It was a video of a huge snake, you know, and a group of monkeys just surrounding the snake. The snake had a bulging belly, you know, and could not move. Obviously, the snake had swallowed one of those monkeys. It had swallowed one of their, you know, family members, and the snake was just totally disabled. It couldn't move. It was just there. It couldn't move. In its most vulnerable state, the monkeys didn't seem to be able to do anything about it. You know, if it was us humans, I mean, that snake would have suffered a lot. You know, yes, if that snake had done that to humans, it was a group of us seeing a snake like that, it would not be easy for that snake. But the monkeys simply surrounded the snake. It was barely moving. They were all sitting around it and just watching it. They knew the snake had something of theirs that they were not happy to lose. They all looked miserable. They all looked sad. But they didn't seem to coordinate that into any kind of action to save the situation. And they just sat there because it looked like they were missing one step. There's one critical step that makes a human being turn this into victory, which a monkey just has to sit by and will just be looking and watching. And that's the life of a monkey. Do you understand? Human beings who do not notice things are not walking in wisdom. People who do not recognize greatness, when there's greatness around, we are indifferent to it. it's a very bad sign. It's a sign of serious mental deficiency. It shows that we are operating at a very low level mentally. When great things, or we sit by great things, great people, and we don't even recognize there's anything great about them, that is a problem. Who would do that but a child? Do you understand? When you go into a home, who is destroying all the good things in the house? Who is taking the CDs and breaking them in pieces? You know, the thing that houses all the music. I'm talking about CDs. When we used to have music on CDs, you know, children would take the CDs and they'll break them. They'll just break them like that. Do you see? Yeah. They would break them in two and get the next one and break it and get the next one and break it. What is it? It is a revelation of the mind. You see, their immaturity is showing in how they are handling valuable things. And our immaturity continues to show, you know, in how we handle valuable things. I remember as a little boy, you know, one of my favorite things was to take a blade, you know, like a sharp edge, and cut across the dining chairs.
Oh, no.
Get it? Yeah. I would want to put a plus sign on it. And I enjoyed how, because it was, it, you know how they make the cushions and they fix them and it's fair. And I used to enjoy how, as you cut it open, it sort of just breaks itself open like that. It pops open like that.
Cedric.
You see, it was a revelation of a certain mind. Thank God for redemption in Jesus' name. Do you understand? Yes. But it is a revelation. That is why it's the child in your house that does things like that. It's the child in your house who would take a crayon, you know, and stand next to the wall and pretend he doesn't know the wall, the crayon is against the wall, and walk from one end of the wall to the other, you know, and leave a green line, you know, running across the wall from one end of the room to the other end. It's the child that does that. And what does it do? It reveals the level of thinking. Do you understand? So as Christians, when we are with people that God has given us, when we don't recognize gifts, we don't recognize graces, we don't recognize people that God has given us, you know, we show our first deficiency, and that is one of the signs that we lack wisdom. It is because of our lack of wisdom that we do not recognize that. That is why we do not, sometimes we criticize successful people rather than celebrate them. You know, we criticize them. We try to find faults with them. We try to accuse them. We say negative things about them. That seems to come first before our recognition of the great things that God has given them. So our inability to notice things, to point things out, to acknowledge things, to acknowledge this is a good thing, this is a great thing, this is a blessing. You get it? It's a sign of mental deficiency. It shows that our thinking is really low. It's really low. For us to be in a church and not to even appreciate that we are in a good church and to see the gift and the grace of God at work in our midst, if we are missing it, it's a sign of low mental thinking. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
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 And it says, nations that do not reward successful people, but rather punish them, also reveal a deep-seated deficiency. That is why when people have talents and people have abilities and so on, you notice that God seems to give liberally. He doesn't pack all the clever people into one place. Do you see? So in every nation, you find talented people, gifted people, but in the end, they all drift towards places where their talents are recognized, their talents are celebrated and rewarded. Do you see? Yeah. And so you find them all moving to places where their talents matter. Whereas in another place, they don't even count. Nobody even knows they exist. It's amazing. Hallelujah. Look at the next thing. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 11. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? Jeremiah, what seest thou? What do you see? Do you see? And Jeremiah had to speak. He said, I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I will hasten my word to perform it. You see, so you realize that much of God talking to his people is actually in showing you things. Much of God talking to you will come in the form of showing you something. Look at it. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. What came unto him? The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? What seest thou? What do you see? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And God says, that is my way of telling you, I will hasten my word to perform it. Right? When he said, I see a rod, God said, thou hast well seen. He said, congratulations, well done. You've seen properly. I will hasten my word to perform it. Hallelujah. So God does that all the time. Many times when God wants to speak to you, he'll show you something. He'll show you something. They have a saying that a picture is worth 1,000 words. I believe it is one of the tools God uses to speak to his people. Amen. So watch out for the thing God shows you. Watch out for the things God shows you, right? Watch out for the pictures, the things that you see, because God speaks to us by things that he shows us. You know, Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1, you notice how the writer says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, right? All that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, when you say both, it must refer to two, isn't it? So Jesus began both to do and teach. Jesus, as we follow him, expects us to observe both what he did and what he said, right? Jesus offers two avenues and two sources of learning. One of them is the things he did. The other one is the things we said, he said, you know, and we tend to be more used to and more ready to follow the things he said than we are to do the things he did. Because Jesus, you know, or following Jesus is not only doing what he said, but it is also doing what he did. Hallelujah. Doing what he did. Right? So things that are done must also be noticed. And of course, then things that are not done must also be noticed. You get it? Because another way to do is not to do. You see? So what you didn't do is also what you did. Hallelujah. And the things that are said must also be heard. Now, if you only go by what is said, then you're going to miss a lot of what is on offer. You get it? You're going to, if you go by what is said, it will be like watching television where the picture is off, but the sound is working. How many of you would like to watch a movie where the picture is not coming, but the sound is okay? You know?
No.
I think I'd like even the opposite. I'll choose the other one. I'd rather have the pictures without the sound.
Okay, subtitles.
Yeah, pictures with no sound, even without subtitles. I mean, Mr. Bean does not say anything to us, but we all like him very much. You get it? So we can deal with that. If we have good pictures, I think we can use that. So don't miss the things that are done. You need to be someone who notices things. Notice things. Notice things around you. Notice success. Notice what is causing it. Notice people who are making it. Notice people who are doing well, people who are doing what you're trying to do, and people who are succeeding in what you're struggling with. Notice it. Notice it when God sets it before you. Because that's how God will teach you. That's how God will bless you. And that's how God will help you. Can I have an amen?
Then,
amen.
Finally, for today, John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. John 1 and 1. No, not John. First John, I'm sorry. First John. First John chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life, right? Then the next verse two. He says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Okay, now that's in brackets, it's in parentheses, meaning that we can actually jump from 1 to 3. Do you see? Yeah, because the verse 2 is simply explaining a couple of the things he's saying in verse 1, which we don't have time to go into. So let's read verse 1 and connect it to verse 3, and let's understand what is being said there. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life, right? That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, now what John is saying is that our preaching, what we are sharing with you, is not only based on what we heard, but it is a combination of what we heard as well as what we observed, do you see, and what we felt, what our hands have handled, what our eyes have seen, what was not taught but done. Do you get it? What was not taught but done? What people or what Christ didn't say or teach us, but he did. That's what we have transferred to you. And he said that it is because we experienced it that way that we've been able to have fellowship with the Father. And therefore, we also are transferring that same thing to you so that you can have fellowship with us. In other words, we want to make you like us. And for you to become like us, you can't only do it by hearing us, but you also need to do the things that you see. You need to notice things about us. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I remember one time I was asking my friend, I was asking Bishop Richard a question. You know, I asked him, what do you think about this and that and that and that? And then he gave me an answer. He said, well, it doesn't sound wrong, but I've not seen it being done anywhere. And when he said that, I got the answer. He was telling me that while it may not be written anywhere, let's observe and let us notice that others who've had the same opportunity to do this have not done that. You know, and as they haven't done that, that's all we need to know, that this is not a good thing to do. So let's not do it. We need to be people who observe things around us. God will speak to us. God will minister to us. There are many things that God will bring our way if we're going to be observant, if we're going to be people who notice things. Notice it when something is failing. Notice it when something is working. Notice it when there's greatness around. Notice it when you're experiencing something unusual. Notice it when God has blessed you. When God has blessed you, notice it. Notice it. Don't wait till you lose the blessing before you recognize that that was a blessing. Like opportunities. Most opportunities are recognized from the rearview mirror. After you've passed it and it's behind you, that's when you look with hindsight to recognize the opportunity. But most of the time when people are living in opportunity, they don't even realize it. They don't realize that now that somebody else is maybe doing something for you, now that someone pays your rent or someone is doing this, it's your opportunity. People don't realize that you are actually existing in opportunity. It is only when you drive some distance away from it that you look back and you say, wow, I wish those days would be back here. And usually those days are long gone.
Too late.
Yeah, the time to go to school, the time to develop certain relationships, the time to be close, the time to learn how to do certain things. That opportunity is right before you, but you find yourself often missing it and not even recognizing that it's an opportunity. So perhaps it is even the future that defines opportunity in the past. Do you see? It is when we step into the future that the future and the things happening there give definition to the things we've come away from in the past. And then we realize that that was an opportunity right there. Maybe that's how it is. I don't know. But we need to be people who pray for wisdom and people who notice things. May God open our eyes to recognize the good things that are in our lives, the good people, the good opportunities that he has given us right now. You know, may God open our eyes to them in the name of Jesus Christ. One of the opportunities God has given us is the floor prayer, which we keep saying that the last one may be coming by soon, and finally it has come. This coming week is the final week of float prayers for this season, you know, and that is it, okay? And so we're having Flow Elevation Week. But anyway, I'll talk about that in a moment. But I just want to say that don't let the flow prayers, for example, as an opportunity, slip by you. Don't miss that opportunity. God is given an opportunity. Don't look back some time to come and say that, wow, I remember those days, how I missed those prayers. You know, Monday nights, I feel idle now. Monday nights, I feel like something is missing. That's how people talk. You know, I feel like something is missing. Sometimes you're living with someone and the person goes away. Before you see, feel the house sort of feels empty. When Zoe left here and went to school, I for some time I was not sure what was wrong with me. You know, I felt something is missing. I couldn't really place it. It was after much thinking that I realized this is it. You get it? This is it. The girl is not here. You see, that's when it also dawned on me that, you see, this going could be the going. That's it. You know,
yeah. Merci, Lord.
Because many people go to school and that's the end. They never come back home. You know, so it hit me, you know, and I realized that this going could be it. You see, there may not be another returning to this home in that sense. You get it? So it is a very important thing. Don't let people go before you start to see their value. Notice and recognize who people are. Notice and recognize good situations, and God is going to add to your wisdom. Can I have an amen? Amen.
Amen.
Bring the service to a point right now. Flow prayers, or no, Flow Revival is just around the corner, right? And so let's pray. Everybody bow your heads, please, and let's pray. Father, we are thanking you for today's word. Thank you. We pray that you open our eyes to recognize things. Thank you for teaching us that there is no need for us to be deficient in wisdom, because that's the one thing you give freely. You give to everyone. If only we will ask, if we will make the judgment and recognize that we need your wisdom, you will give to us if we ask you. I pray, Lord, that we'll walk in this truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, please join us as we say this prayer together. Say with me, everybody. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know I am a sinner.
And I am a sinner.
And you died for my sins.
Lord Jesus.
Please come into my heart.
Please come to my heart.
Fill my life with your presence.
Fill my life with your presence.
Make me a child of God.
Make me a child of God.
Help me to live for you, Jesus.
Help me to live for you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's now go to the First Love Center and join the prophet as we have communion. Let's go to the First Love Center and have communion with our pastor, prophet, and Bishop Dag Hewitt Mills. Hallelujah.
Take your bread. We are going to have Holy Communion right now.
Which is broken for you.
Times of refreshing.
Drink. This is my blood.
Communion. This is your holy bread. Let your body bring us healing today. By his stripes we are healed. And I pray for everybody watching, anyone sick, anyone stricken by the virus, stricken by any other plague or curse or disease, be healed today. I pray for your power to heal, to come into this holy communion. We receive the body. The body. This is the interaction with the body. Good things from the body of Jesus come into our bodies, and bad things in our bodies are driven out by the coming and the interaction with the body, the communion of the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. Speak for you.
Amen.
It will speak for you. It will speak for you.
Hallelujah.
It will speak for you.
Amen.
Father, our mistakes are like mountains that have surrounded us. I thank you that the blood will speak for us better things. Better things. Our excuse, our forgiveness, our defense is the blood. Blanket all those mountains of evidence that are lifted up against us with the blood and wipe them away. Let our sins no more be called up in remembrance, but let them be forgotten into the sea of forgetfulness. Let a new life begin. And as we go forward into a season of supernatural upgrades, supernatural recoveries, may we recover all that is lost by our mistake that took us some steps back. Thank you that we take steps forward now by the blood of Jesus. The blood that Jesus shed for you. The blood. And now, lift your hands for great blessing. May you be counted up there, not down there. You be counted up there and not down there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You'll be counted up there and not down there. You'll be counted up there. When I make up my jewels, says the Lord, I shall count you as one of my jewels. This is the blessing I give to you this day for seeking first my kingdom and choosing me first over everything else. When I make up my jewels, you be counted among my jewels, my precious things, says the Spirit of the Lord. Receive this preciousness and specialness of the Lord this day in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. May you always be among his jewels, which he has made up before. In Jesus' name, amen.